5th District Supervisor Linda Hopkins is here. Good morning to you, Supervisor Hopkins.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm well. And you?
Very well.
Very good. Well, we've been talking with city and county leaders over the course of the last couple of weeks and in advance of the anniversary of the fires, of course. And where were you when you got word about the fires last October?
You know, I was in bed and I was woken up actually by the barking of my dog, who, you know, was a sort of crazy hound. And so we thought, oh, maybe she's barking at a skunk or something like that. And that's when I opened the door and you could just smell the smoke, and you knew that this was serious. And so I remember going on in the middle of the night, you know, it must have been, I don't know, 2 a.m., to the Press Democrat website and trying to find out information. Where is this? Where is it going?
Yeah.
And then slowly beginning to realize just the magnitude of the disaster. And basically the first place that I went was I drove into Sebastopol, where I knew we had evacuation centers up and running, and started seeing what I could do to bring, you know, go to Harmony Farm Supply, pick up dust masks, you know, call up a friend who had a refrigerator truck because there was a need for a refrigerator truck to get food to people. And it was just, you know, you immediately went into crisis response mode.
Yeah, and we stayed there for quite a long while, too.
Weeks. That was one of the hardest parts. You know, it was the sort of fastest moving, slowest moving disaster where it was just horrific in its intensity and how ferocious and how fast it was and how, you know, in the early hours we didn't have any information about what was happening. But then it lingered for weeks and weeks where we were still issuing evacuation orders.
Yeah.
And where some residents were evacuated multiple times from their homes, you know, being able to go back only to be told that they were, their area was under threat again. And that's really hard.
And I think one of the unusual things about it, Linda, was that even though, you know, some of the fires burned through quickly and neighborhoods were already gone, other fires were still raging. And so that element of danger stayed with us for, I think, a much longer amount of time than most people experience in a fire situation. So, yeah, there was
absolutely
where one part of the community was done, another part still in jeopardy. Yeah, quite the thing. And obviously,
yeah, we were still waiting for some resources, too. I remember actually one thing that I'll never forget was on Thursday, after the fires had started on the Sunday, the CAO, our county administrator, sent an email out to all the supervisors saying, call your federal legislators, call your state, you know, assembly and senators, because we don't have enough firefighters on the ground. You know, we're still losing this battle. And I think that 4 days in, you know, we're still struggling to have enough equipment to fight those new threatened areas, you know, especially thinking about up by Geyserville and kind of that area north of Healdsburg was being threatened, and that at that point in time, I mean, it was a long haul.
It was a very long haul, and it continues to be that. And I think most of us are grateful for the progress that we've been able to make in Sonoma County in the past almost year. And yet we're very, very much aware of how much work there is still to be done.
There's still so much to do. And I think that's one of the hardest realizations about hitting the one-year anniversary is that, you know, it's great to see the homes rising in Coffee Park. It's great to see the homes rising in Mark West, but we still have a long way to go to totally recover from this. And I don't think we ever will completely recover. You know, there are community members who are no longer here and moved out of the county or out of the state, and those losses are ones that we can never get over. Obviously, there are community members that we lost because they passed away in the catastrophe. And so it's something that I think we have to recognize. We can talk about recovery, we can talk about resilience, we can talk about fire thrivers, but we also have to take time to acknowledge that grief and that things will be different from here forward.
And I think that's sort of the second point, most important point in this whole conversation, Linda, is especially as we inch closer and closer to the anniversary, you know, how many of us are still really on edge and still reeling and really are fearful about marking the anniversary, because that fear, you know, for many just seems to grow and grow and grow.
It is hard. And I think that, you know, it's an especially important moment to come together as a community and be kind to one another and take care of one another. Because everyone is still on edge. And I think, honestly, seeing what was happening in our neighboring counties over the summer brought us all right back to October.
Yeah.
You know, and it was such a relief to experience the rains, but you never know. We still could get a heat spell, you know, between now and when the rains finally settle in. And so I'm not going to feel good until we're more worried about flood risk than fire risk.
Yeah. No kidding.
Maybe. November or December.
I know, whoever thought we would say that, but yeah, it's you know, something we haven't had to deal with, the flooding, for a while now, and hopefully we won't have to deal with it this winter either. But you're right, it's a different kind of perspective. As a county, Supervisor Hopkins, are there enough mental health resources available right now?
You know, we are lucky because we were able to secure grants to provide counseling to folks. And yet my concern is what happens when those grants run out, and also, are we reaching everyone? You know, the system of care with medical care in general is very, very fragmented, and it's especially so with mental health, which still unfortunately carries a stigma and still is not always sort of accurately diagnosed even by primary care physicians, let alone at your place of work, or, you know, maybe you've got an employer or a friend. Well, how do they refer you to resources? So I'm very happy with the resources that we have, but my concern is that this is going to be a long haul, right? There are some folks who are going to still be struggling with this for many years to come. And how do we make sure that we maintain that level of staffing and that level of some community support after the federal grants run out?
God, I would hope, considering all the discussion we've had and all the emotion that, you know, has been brought forth over the course of the last year, that, you know, with our mental health being really top of mind, I would hope that would alleviate at least some of the remaining stigma.
I hope so. And I think that the more that we can talk about it as a community, and it's great that you're asking the question right now, you know, the more that we can kind of make it normal to ask these questions and refer to people to resources, the better off and the stronger we'll be as a community.
I agree. And I think it's important for us, especially over the course of the next several days, to make sure that everybody we know who has been sorely affected by the fires is not isolating, and make sure that we're reaching out, even if they don't, because that isolation is not a good piece of news for anybody.
Absolutely. You know, invite a friend to dinner. Offer to bring them dinner if they don't feel like coming over to your house. I think that little gestures of kindness can really go a long way. And then we will make sure that we have all of our county resources available and information tables at the commemoration events coming up as well.
Yes, we'll be there on Monday in the square at around 6 p.m. And, of course, it's open with chalk in hand prior to that. If you would like to make your comments or express your emotions in Courthouse Square prior to that 6 p.m. event. I heard a great suggestion, Linda, from somebody the other night, and for people who had lost everything in the fires, and that was to give them everything they need to start making new memories. You know, maybe it's, you know, a camera. Maybe it's, you know, creating photographs from collections that you have of your friends and neighbors that you can pass along to them so that those folks can start, regaining their own lives back, literally.
That's a really wonderful idea. You know, that makes me think also we, of course, have the holidays coming up, which can be hard for people right on the heels of the anniversary. But, you know, a lot of people lost all of their Christmas ornaments or perhaps their Hanukkah decorations.
Yeah.
You know, little things that might mean more if it comes from a personal friend of yours rather than you having to go, you know, to Target or to, you know, try to find a local store that you can shop for these things from, that it would really be kind to give those kinds of small gifts. Photographs, Christmas ornaments, that might go a long way.
Yeah, they mean more to us now, that's for sure. That's one of the positives to come out of all of this. Supervisor Hopkins, happy to talk to you about the anniversary, and no doubt, as you said, there's much work to do, so we will be chatting again soon.
Yes, wonderful to talk to you, and I do want to say on a happier note, congratulations on your Marconi Award. Very well deserved, and just thank you for your leadership and your bringing the community together and helping work on these events to try to help us process all of these emotions. It's very, very much appreciated by a lot of my constituents out in West County have said what a wonderful presence you've been to the community. So thanks, Pat.
Thank you very much. And as you would no doubt also say, happy to be of service. That is Supervisor Linda Hopkins on KSRO.